Welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And tonight, we have another show dealing with spiritual issues and metaphysics. And for those of you who are further interested in some scientific issues that blend into that and don't necessarily compromise them, as well as other ideas dealing with the subject in general of epidemic health concerns. So I want you to think about this show as sort of a way of looking at some of the things that are going on in the health of the world, in some cases of certain parts of the world, and why those things are happening at the present time, and what we can do maybe to resolve some of those issues. One of them comes to mind just as I'm speaking, autism, especially among boys in our child population here in the United States and in many other countries. Now, you might say, well, that's been going on for a while. Why is autism such a big factor today? And why would you bring it up in terms of spiritual issues? Well, some of you already know the answer to that because about 20 years ago I wrote about this. I mean, even predicted there would be many more problems in this area because some diseases do not come from just the electromagnetic or etheric parts of our physical body, as many do. Some actually come from other parts of ourselves that have to do with our astral or emotional side and from our mental side. And those bodies exist in a time and space that is different from the time and space we are in, so time has a factor or plays a factor in when they become prevalent once you're reincarnated. And many times these diseases affect us right after birth, or sometimes they do not. Depends on the nature of where they're coming from. Autism comes mostly from astral, that means emotional, brain damage. And it's not part of the physical system. So that's one of the few diseases that have eluded science completely in trying to find a specific cause. And it's going to continue to do so, I believe. That's my thought on that. Now, of course, if you don't agree with me, that's okay. And you can call in and disagree. You can email me. I get emails all the time, people saying, well, you know, I think this or that. And that's okay. Hey, look, this is a show to promote thought, not necessarily to come up with my version of reality and only my version. But nonetheless, it is based upon principles in something called ageless wisdom, which is sort of the metaphysics of all time. It goes back before there has been recorded history. And today, it's one of these things that I think most people find to be interesting, but not necessarily are they convinced upon first hearing about it that this is the way the universe actually works. Now, if you listen to the show for a while, you may change your thought process on that. But at any rate, spiritual issues and epidemic health concerns, today's show is going to be loaded with stuff that hopefully will help people because it's a major factor. Now, why would it be, and why would I be able to suggest so long ago, 20 years, and if you really go back to some of my earliest teachings, it's actually more like 25 years or more, ago that I could say this. I mean, am I some kind of, oh, he's one of those guys, you know, he's got his ESP and he has some clairvoyance thrown in. No, I don't have any of that stuff, really. What I have is this thought process. Many people went through World War II and some wars associated, including the Korean conflict, which is a similar continuation war. But many people went through those wars, and it wasn't just the people on the battlefield, but unfortunately, particularly World War II and thereafter, wars became part of the general population because the idea was to destroy infrastructure, in some cases, with some of the governments, to destroy people as well that were citizens outside of soldiers, etc. Now, thinking from that standpoint, when people are exposed to the types of stresses, emotional stresses, that are imbued from being in a battlefield or a bombed-out city or a number of other kinds of war-related issues, with the terrors, the modern-day terrors of war. Well, we're back. I have heard we're really back. I have started this show now about a half dozen times, and you probably only heard once. And if you did, you heard that about 10 minutes ago. And we had some technical difficulties about in a radio station that, of course, is controlling this situation about 1,000 miles away from where I am. But they have managed, they have told me, to get me back on the air, which is fantastic. Tonight's show is Spiritual Issues and Epidemic Health Concerns. Especially if you didn't even hear the first part, it's good that you know what the show's about. And, of course, this is a show about metaphysics and spirituality, and has a lot of science involved in it, too. I want to start from where I think I last left off, and that is we were talking about how the World Wars, and especially World War II, had a profound effect on people's astral or emotional nature. And it did so in a way which is disproportionate to the way it would normally affect the whole population, because the people that we send to war are oftentimes young folks, what I call young anyway, and those people are normally somewhere between the ages of 18 and 24, 25 years old. Even 18 to 21 is a large proportion of them. And those young people, sometimes some of them have not developed or corrected the development of their astral bodies or emotional nature, because that takes time to develop and to use in ways that are constructive. The constructive uses of it come all the way to age 21 in a normal person, and sometimes much later than that in people who have some, we'll call it chinks, in their astral nature. Now, it's usually those folks that I'm most concerned about. And years ago, a long time ago, as I said earlier in the show, I predicted that we're going to have problems with those people reincarnating. Now, how did I know that? Well, because it's just science. I was just trying to figure, using the principles of ageless wisdom, what would happen to especially the people that went off to war and or the populations that were attacked, because we did a lot of attacking of civil populations. And that kind of nature has a great deal of stress imposed on it. Now, who were these people? They were mostly males, much more. True, in the civilian population, it was probably equal, maybe even more women. But unfortunately, more people that were soldiers ended up with astral problems than just the civilian population did on average. So disproportionately, we would have problems in the astral nature of people being reborn. And when is that? Well, it's going to be right now and going back 10, 20 years ago at the very beginning of the process. So people who died at that time, you would find having difficulties. Now, it is possible, depending upon the developmental nature of a person, that people from World War I are being reborn now as well. So you should include both world wars in this situation, and many of the surrounding less, we'll say, generalized conflicts, like the Korean War, which is the conflict they claim. At any rate, you add all that together, and with the nature and the severity of the types of weapons that are used, were used and are used since the 20th century, and you look at the numbers of people who were slaughtered, and it's pretty severe. Now, yes, I know all about the Civil War. 550,000 people died. It's a huge, huge number. But the interesting thing about that war is that the nature of the war took a long time. Even the battles took unusual lengths of time. And people had some time, usually, to adjust in some ways to the astral stresses they were having. But as time goes by and battles become more intense and less drawn out over days or weeks or months, you have greater impact on the astral nature. And this is the stresses of modern warfare, all put together. The concern I had was we would have an epidemic of, are you ready for this one, of autism, especially more profoundly so and more frequently in boys. Well, what has happened? We've had an epidemic in autism, and it's about 1 out of 60 children that are being born in some circumstances, and definitely 1 out of 100. So it's a terrible number, especially if you look at the boy population. It's really bad. This is a huge number. This is an epidemic. And it's worse in military families, and I can explain why that is the case as well. Generally, when someone dies as a result of a certain kind of related occupation and social issues, they have a tendency to be born to a family who has a surrounding karmic value system that isn't too different from the death of a person. That's more common than not. It doesn't have to always be the case. So someone who is a soldier isn't always going to be born to a soldier. But more often than not, that would be possible. And that means that soldiers are going to have a disproportionate level of autism. Now, I know they think it's the shots they're getting, and in fact they were under stress, but their sperms don't know the stress that much. Come on. And sometimes it's in kids before they went over. So how do you explain that? Well, it's explicable by the methods that I'm using. They're esoteric reasons, hidden reasons, coming from truly metaphysical concepts and not the normal way we think, most people think. So it is an issue. Now the question is, how do you deal with this? I mean, here's this, and I'm just starting off today's program with this because it's so profoundly overwhelming. And I'm talking about it from the proportions in the United States. It's worse in some other countries. Yes, it is. So this is a real bad problem because there's no, we'll say, physical cure presently for autism. There are various ways to cope with it and to attempt to treat it, but the cure has eluded the present people who are investigating and researching it. The reason for it is they don't understand the nature of the astral brain. The cause of these problems, these emotional problems, is usually related to the emotional system and to the astral brain. When the astral brain gets damaged due to extreme forces, which is what I was referring to happening to these young folks, and when the brain itself already has a confusion in it, it hasn't developed properly because of earlier issues while the teenager was trying to use their astral brain properly, then you have a compounded issue that can lead to, in the next lifetime, this difficulty. It is true that most people have an opportunity, have the ability to work out the damage to their astral brain and their astral nature for the hundreds of years that they live in the astral world after they die. However, sometimes that just doesn't work in people who die so suddenly and with so much trauma that they spend most of the time just in a remedial period. They don't live the full astral life that they should. And the results are they don't clarify and resolve all the issues that are going to become their astral brain to some extent in their next lifetime. Now, you don't inherit all of the aspects that you had in your prior life. That's the good news. The problem is for people that had astral problems before they went into the wars, those people may have karma that they can't escape, since the instigating factors are not the war itself, but their lack of attention to their development years before they were caught in a situation where they were under such astral stresses. They may have died as a result, or they may have lived on, but in a terribly crippled state, emotionally.
Bobby on line one. Bobby.
Okay, so we have a caller. It sounds like, unless that I heard a little noise in my ear. Is there somebody on line named Bobby?
Yes. How's it going, Alex?
Hi. How are you doing, Bobby?
Not bad. How are you doing?
Doing great. What can I do for you tonight? What is it you want to talk about?
Well, I just want to talk about the current war. Yeah. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. I'm going to say it again.
Okay, you don't think...
Nothing.
Okay, he sounded like he was having an agenda to talk about war rather than the subject we're talking about. Well, unfortunately, that happens sometimes, and maybe that's an indication of the stresses that I'm talking about. But at any rate, let's get back to the subject at hand. And Bobby, if you're still listening, we're talking tonight about epidemic health concerns that come from the emotional stresses of war, not the political ramifications and other things, which we can have for a discussion for another night, certainly. And you can email me if you want and talk about those things as well. Let me continue on. And I want to be concerned about our time tonight also, because if we have a lot of callers, we won't be able to probably finish the show because we've lost some time. So let's try and move ahead. All right, so in looking at this dynamic, then, someone has an issue, someone has a problem that they bring with them into their next lifetime if they don't resolve it in their lives after death. What are those lives? The astral world life and then the mental or monastic world life, where they can correct a lot of the issues that were wrong while they were physically alive. So it's okay, and while they're astral life as well. But the point is, some people don't do that. And when they don't, then in some circumstances in their next lifetime, they bring with them some of the karmic-induced genetic problems, but these are mystical genes. They aren't the genes that we physically know about. They're genes that have to do with, we'll call them spiritual genes, that have to do with the astral and mental natures of us. And when those things kick in, and they can start from birth, we have a lot of problems. And there's no question about the fact that in order to solve astral brain issues, you have to do things that are radically different, than the present mode of trying to solve the problems of people with autism. Now, I'm going to suggest these, and I'm going to caution anybody who's hearing me tonight to do these with some degree of, we'll say, doubt and a definite experimental eye for if it isn't working right, don't continue. So don't continue doing it because some guy on the radio said, well, I think this might work. If it doesn't work, you stop. If it works, continue on. The first concern and the first issue to try to solve autism is to recognize that the person cannot process emotions the way normal people can process them, because the astral brain is like the processing center. It stores information about how we feel, and it allows us to use that information about our feelings in the past to deal with feelings we have in the present and projected feelings we have in the future. That's what the astral brain does. The physical brain does the same thing with physical information. The astral brain does it with feelings, okay? Information about our feelings. Autistic people get that all mixed up. So they try to resource their feelings from the past to apply them to the future or to the present, and they can't do it in any consistent fashion. Sometimes they apply their feelings from the past to something that isn't in the present but maybe in the future, and they react totally inappropriately to the stimulus, whatever it is, that's going on around them. To us, they seem to be nuts. They're acting in ways that are completely incoherent to the circumstances around them. In social terms, they can't relate to others in a social way, because social relations require the ability for some degree of empathy, which comes from the collection of our feelings applied to our sense, our senses of feelings, and then read back about how other people feel. And so they lose the ability to know how others feel, and their own feelings are a jumble in time. They feel things that are inappropriate to the situation at hand because they're feeling things in the future or sometimes in the past and not in the present. Time is very confused about the feelings they're experiencing. And this is because there's disorganization within the astral brain. This is a fairly serious problem, believe me. And it makes it very difficult for these folks to socially be adept with anyone and to interact in a way that seems normal to us in any way. So we have autistic people really reacting to things that that aren't there, in a sense, and they have an inability to correct this under normal circumstances. All right, so this is, from what I just told you, even that seems overwhelming to the average person who is trying to help someone with autism. Because you say, well, what can you do about that? I mean, after all, if this astral brain is damaged, would you go into an operation on the astral brain? Or what can you do? Or take a pill? Well, no. They do give people sometimes drugs, but it doesn't work. And almost nothing that is presently known has any effect because it's all being done from the physical side. The real answer to this problem has to do with the nature of integrating the three bodies together so that the other two bodies can help solve the problem for the body that's involved, which in this case is the astral body. So you need to work through the mental and the physical body, okay, you're following me, and allow those two bodies to be supportive while the person is stumbling through not having cohesiveness in their feelings. The best way to do that is to invoke a soul-level response. And you're going to say, you're going to look at me and say, what? People who are autistic aren't even empathic, so how can they ever have a soul-level response to anything? Because souls are supposedly highly empathic, highly loving, they're getting all this other stuff, and basically people who are autistic are in their own world and seem to be incredibly selfish. Okay, here's the answer that I'm going to suggest. Hold on to your chairs now, here it comes, wherever you are. I suggest that you get a person who is astral to serve somebody or something in as significant a way as possible. And that service needs to be on a soul level, and it needs to be direct and in response to the needs of the other. Now you're looking at me like, what? I've got an autistic kid, and that child can barely even get along with the next door neighbor. How do you expect him? Because we have all assumed something incorrectly. We think there's something in the nature of the person that by itself demeans them or limits them from this ability, and it's not true. Even though the astral brain is scrambled, the person can still reach for and have contact with their soul, and they still can become highly spiritual. I know you find that hard to believe if you've had contact with autistic children or autistic adults, and you may never have seen this in them because they haven't been trained, so to speak, in how to get to their soul, which is what I'm going to discuss here. As a parent or guardian or a helper, it is we that have to do the empathic research to see where this person can serve and what skills and abilities they have that can be shared with others. And you can say, how do I know if they have those things? Because I know. There is no human being that is more. Even evil people, this is true of. Although there are some exceptions about how they deal with this, but all humans are born with the innate ability to have soul contact. I don't care if they're autistic. I don't care what the issue is. It's the nature of being a human being. We have to find that nature and connect it for them in the beginning. They won't find it for themselves, maybe ever, because their brain being so scrambled, their astral brain being so scrambled, they just cannot connect. They can't connect with those around them in a way that is going to lead them in this direction. I call it the Helen Keller effect. Here is a woman who is quite capable of doing great service for many others, but in the beginning of her life, she couldn't find it. She needed someone to assist her, as you all know how that came about. Read her story or seen the movie, etc. And so it's not too different. Although that was a real physical thing, that was the hearing and sight issue. This is more of an astral nature. The only difference here is that we have to use other methods of finding and helping a person by us being the empathic bridge in the beginning, and then finding where the person's abilities and skills lie to be of service. And they all have them. They do. And if we can find them early enough, and I'm talking about the first few years of life, don't give up for a second. If you've got a child that you just discovered is autistic, from that moment on, you've got this to try out. And don't wait, because every day that goes by is a day lost in this battle that you can win. Now, I know this sounds terribly radical and maybe to some people unconscionably cruel, because they think, well, you're expecting so much from so little. Actually, the expectation of a soul-level response is a godly pursuit. It is not expecting too much. It's expecting what they have to give, or they wouldn't be here. When they can teach us more about souls than maybe we can teach ourselves, provided we work to try to solve this problem for them. And there's so many right now that we need to be doing something about it. Now, I've heard all the other things about people saying, well, it's in the food supply, it's the water, it's this and that, and the reason it affects babies is because it's the mothers are getting the wrong food, and they're all, they've got all kinds of issues. You can look for those physical reasons, and certainly they can cause physical effects. But the astral nature is so unique, even though those things can be quite detrimental to a fetus. Ultimately, if we're dealing with a purely astral kind of condition, which autism is, it isn't those things. It's what I'm suggesting, in my opinion. Can there be people who have both? Some kind of physical? Sure. I'll say that's a possibility. But then you don't have just autism. You have some toxic kind of other things affecting the physical system, including maybe the physical brain. But I am trying to say that pure autism is an astral brain problem. Okay? So, again, let's summarize this. Then how is it we solve astral problems? Well, we solve astral problems by helping someone to learn how to integrate their astral feelings to eventually the point where they develop empathy. In the beginning, the first thing is to get the time and space correct about the feelings the person is having. And the best way to do that is to have them serve others. The focusing out in service will lead to a betterment of the condition. Now, is there any evidence to support me? Yes. In animal studies with autistic children, where the animals are obviously well beneath the consciousness level of even an autistic child, almost all animals are, by the way. There's a few that may exceed that, but most are. And where children are allowed to give and take care of the animals, they get better. They do. That's an example. in other examples where children have savant type of abilities. Most autistic children do not have savant abilities, but some do. Those savants, if given the opportunity to serve, get better. They may not get normal, because normal would mean that someone would have to start very early and known what I am telling all of you today, if I'm right. The best way to know if I'm right is to try it. Hey, look it. 1,000 people just go through, say, this guy on the radio said, try this. And try it out. And if you don't fully understand everything I said, you know, you can read the textbook I wrote, Life's in Meaning. It may help you. You can also email me. I'll certainly help. I will. And I'll make other specific suggestions I can't make here on the radio, because I'm talking to quite a few people who I don't know what their problems are. So, but I can if you call or if you email. Okay, so this is the first suggestion I'm making this evening about a truly spiritual epidemic health concern. And hopefully by the end of tonight, we will have some cohesive kind of understanding that every disease, every kind, has some, we'll say, answer. Some of them are more difficult than others. Now, I want to move on. I'm kind of out of time. We're in a kind of a time-strange land here right now, because we started, we stopped. But what I'm going to do right now, I'll go for about another 5 minutes, and then we'll take a break. And then we'll just do as much of the show as we can. And that'll have to be it for this evening. But still, the next step I want to go into is various forms of cancer. As you know, cancer is a disease in which the main problem is that the cells in our own body start to act like not part of us. They start to live their life like primitive cells did millions of years ago in some ways, and they have no stop sign. What is that stop sign? Well, stop sign is, in a temporary sense, it slows the cell down so it doesn't just keep replicating itself without being checked by the body and making sure that it isn't diseased or faulty or maligned in some way, and that it's working in the way it's supposed to as a part of an organism. We actually check ourselves. We do this. We have cells that check other cells. And we have pieces of cells, proteins that do this too. Okay, so with cancer, the cells that become cancerous start living their lives like they even avoid these other cells that check them. They have ways of hiding from them and sometimes of destroying them. They are bad dudes. And they live within us, but they don't live for us. They oftentimes live for the destruction of us. And they are suicidal in a sense, because eventually they kill the host many times. Not every cancer does, but most do, if left unchecked. Okay, so that's what cancer is. But where is it coming from? Well, about 10% of the cancers come from the environment around us. They are etherically caused, and that they interrupt and negatively affect the electromagnetic nature of our body. Now, we can't see this as easily as we should, because the electromagnetic nature of living things is different than the electromagnetic nature of non-living things. And most of science has investigated non-living electromagnetic radiation. And therefore, the difference between the two is a thing called phase. Phase is the direction that the energy moves from one place to another in. And this direction of energy is different for living things, and for each kind of living thing, than it is for what we call inanimate or non-living things. Okay, so that being the case, we don't really understand even the nature of cancers that are interfering with the electromagnetic nature of us. Those cancers are oftentimes caused by environmental factors, everything from cigarette smoking and smoke itself to the hostile chemical cocktail that we all seem to live in these days, and even electromagnetic radiation itself might have some effect on some cancers. So that's 10%. Well, then where's the rest of the 90% coming from? Well, now we have to talk again about the astral nature of people. When certain types of astral energy are stored within the astral bodies of people, the energy can become very frenetic and uncontrollable. This is sometimes referred to as glamorization or glamours. What is a glamour? A glamour is a energy that is a fixed desire. In other words, the person has a certain feeling of desire, and it becomes fixed within their astral nature. And the next thing you know, once it's fixed within them, it's increasing the desires that originally caused its inception. These desires become frenetic and take over the astral centers, the chakras, and those are the major chakras, and eventually it takes over a lot of minor chakras, which don't have a consciousness stream directly connected to them. And it is pretty severe. Now, when a whole center is astrally taken over by glamours, a whole major center in the astral body, then the person starts to develop cancer, and I'll explain how that happens. The minor centers can cause a lot of irritation and jitteriness and certain kinds of diseases, which we'll maybe get into tonight, but not cancers, because the minor glamours do not remove the nature of the consciousness of the person from the equation. So the consciousness of the person is still able to hold together the unity of their own astral body. Consciousness is an inclusive form of thought as part of the thinking that involves bringing things together. And it causes the astral nature to stay in a cohesive enough form so that a cancer cannot develop. However, if the glamours take over a major center, which includes the stream of consciousness itself, that's part of our own consciousness, then it can defeat the integrity of the astral body. And when it defeats the integrity of the astral body, that, over time, it takes weeks to months, will start to affect the etheric physical body and develop a similar kind of disturbance depending upon what chakra that is affecting. It'll affect organs connected to that area, and that's where you start seeing cancer develop in the person. Now, what causes such a disturbance in the astral body? And that is caused by the following. It's most often caused by a person denying their feelings about having caused harm of a significant nature, usually a very vulgar nature, to others. That's it. That's the formula that leads to cancer in 90% or so of the cancers that take place that are not directly caused by the etheric phenomena as I described earlier. So in these kinds of situations, people are giving themselves cancers because of the repression or denial of their feelings of, well, we could call it guilt, but oftentimes it's other bad feelings that they have about having caused harm to others. They don't want to feel those feelings. They deny them. They have a certain callousness about it. And the results can lead to, therefore, one of the problems leads to cancer. Okay, and the cancers are all kinds of different kinds of cancers. Some cancers are more specific to some areas than others based upon the chakras. And sometimes the nature of the denial has to do with it as well. Now, I hope you followed that last thing. I'm going to come back to that when we come back on after a brief break here. And from that point, we'll continue on with tonight's show, which will be a little bit shorter than normal because we've had some interruptions early on the show. Okay, I hope this is helping to some extent. I hope people are starting to see it. I'm going to talk about how we can help cure the astral issues of cancers and how those are the ones that usually we can't cure. So I'm going to talk about those when we come back. And we'll be back in about 2.5 minutes from right now.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. MacFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
We're back. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Tonight, we're talking about spiritual issues and epidemic health concerns. And we stopped just a few minutes ago talking about certain kinds of cancers, which are the majority, by far, that people have. And I want to go back to those in a minute, but I wanted to mention something that I just heard from the manager of the station, which is surprising to me because I didn't know it. And I want to say it in this respect, that, you know, I think that it's good that this sort of radio and every other kind of message and radio system is available to as many people who want to hear it as possible. You may or may not agree with me. You know, it's interesting that some people, when they disagree with whatever you're saying or doing, mostly saying in this world, they think it's incumbent upon them, or maybe it's in some way fun, I don't know which, or maybe neither, to try to disrupt, destroy, or harm the ability for people to communicate who want to do so, and for listeners to listen who want to do so. The reason I'm saying that is that it turns out that the reason our radio station is having problems with tonight's show and some other shows, and et cetera, is that there are people who are trying to stop their radio station from being on the air. They're being hacked and whatever. I'm not that familiar with hacking, but the point here is that this is a violence of a very definite, in my opinion, dark, even at some point evil, intent. So for those of you who may be listening who are actually perpetrating this, be aware that there are the rules of karma, and there are many other aspects. So when you want to interfere with others who are really doing nothing more than communicating, what you're really doing is you are showing how you can end up being the most self-destructive to both yourself and maybe to the society around you. And in the process, I can guarantee that nothing will be gained in the long run. So it is possible to certainly stop this show or some other shows from being on the air, but in the long run, the inevitable is failure. But it's failure from another standpoint, too, and that is we are all human beings, and as such, we have a common ground. And if you can't see or experience that common ground, the person who suffers most from it is the one who can't experience what it means to be, as close as possible, a living soul here and now. If you deprive yourself of that, you're depriving yourself of a great portion of the meaning of existence itself. And suffering is certainly part of that process. How can you be fined or someone to catch you? Maybe in the shortest and least likely sense, maybe. But I think the real harm comes to your own existence. So that's just a message from somebody who's sitting on the outside of all this. Unfortunately, I didn't know that this has been going on for some time, and I just heard about it. So, and of course, I will do all I can to have other people know about this. And if anybody knows anyone who knows who these people are, it'd be good to let everybody else know about them, because that isn't ratting them out. That's trying to help the rest of us to be able to communicate and to do a good job at it. So I hope that that's something we can all think about. I'm sure my voice is reaching somebody who has some inkling of what might be happening altogether. Yeah, because I believe that. I believe that there are people listening who have connections to, maybe it's very vague, and they might just say, well, it could be, you know, it could be that person. Yeah, it could be that person. Okay, so let's get back to the question of cancer. All right, what do you do if you're one of these folks who is facing this issue, or if you know somebody else who is? Well, cancer can be reversed provided that the astral center is intact enough to be recovered. If it is not, then the consequences are, no matter what you do, the cancer will probably beat out the physical body. And in the astral body, the person will have an astral life that has one of the senses lacking with a shortened astral life. That's what these 90% or so of cancers can do to people. To try to prevent this, accept the feelings that you have, that you've harmed others, and look for ways to come to amends. Reach for the ways that are going to do the most amount of benefit for others. Don't worry about yourself. Don't do this because you're trying to solve your own cancer, but do it because you want to lead a life that is virtuous, and in the process you will likely get better from the cancer. If you are genuine in your feelings and you have genuine remorse and genuine concern for attempt to remedy and to turn around the harm that you did, and don't deny it. the denial is what's causing the cancer to spread in the astral nature, which will eventually will cause the physical body to lose, be lost in control. And the stop signs all go away, and the next thing you know, you got a very fast-growing cancer and you can't do anything about it. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't try to alleviate cancers with etheric physical means. Some of them will work. Some of them, the better ones, in my opinion, have nothing to do with modern medicine. But regardless of what you want to think of, certainly you can try those things. Some of them are so deadly and destructive that it's hard to imagine how they're going to do much good. But you can try them. But nonetheless, I strongly suggest that you do what I just said, because you can't hurt. And it could do a world of good for health. And literally, if you go through your whole life and you say, well, these are all the people I harmed, and this is the way that... If you look at all the consequences from all the harm you've done, and you try to correct all that, and you're not in denial anymore, you can really see it, and you feel it, you'll stop those glamours that are so profoundly dangerous. You'll stop them. And you may reverse them because you use some of the energy in the glamour itself for the acts of virtue, for the acts of creating light and form around yourself. That's what you can do. And is it effective? Yes. I've seen it work. Does it work all the time? It works all the time, in my opinion, that people are successful at doing what I said. But when people fail at it, no. And when people have a more etheric-formed cancer, they chain smokers or some other kind of thing, those people need to do something entirely different in a lot of circumstances. Although, the weird thing about it is that people who have etheric cancers oftentimes start growing astral cancers because it affects their astral body, and so it can go the opposite way. So you can have an induced emotional denial, even on the cancer, if you are developing it from, say, smoking. It's a weird thing. And smokers have a lot of denial issues. So do alcoholics or people who have drinking problems and or drug problems. That same kind of issue goes on. The denial is very strong. The likelihood of cancer is much higher in all of those folks. Remember, cigarettes are certainly a drug. So, hopefully this will make some sense. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to be the panacea, because I don't think very many people will try my suggestion. But I think that if we did start from this basis, we could make some real changes in the world. Now, you could say, well, I'm very old and I've had cancer a long time, and how am I going to change? There's never too late. There's no such thing as being too late. You can always change, and if it's not enough to keep this life and this body going, you've got a lot of work to still be done in the astral body anyway, and so you might as well start here and now with your astral body and then go on and live in full consciousness within that astral body and the astral world. Remember, you have that as an opportunity. You can really, really make a difference for your future life, even though it may not change the exact outcome you were hoping for in your physical life. Everybody is going to die. The question is how and when. And the how can be, you can change the how to a relatively innocuous form of death, one that doesn't require expenditure of all your resources in every sense of the word, and maybe your families, etc., and make it relatively like no more than going to sleep at night. And awakening to the astral life with a sense of vigor and revitalization overall, with the ability to have a jump on solving some of the more severe astral problems that people, when they start their astral life, sometimes have. That immediately improves your consciousness. You may be able to live in higher astral worlds where people are more conscious and life has more meaning to it. and it lasts a bit longer as well. It isn't really how long you live as much as though how much meaning there is in that life. Okay, so let's move on to the next level of what I'll call epidemic health concerns that have spiritual issues behind them. And the next one is diabetes. Diabetes is a condition in which there's several kinds. One is comes from infancy. You're born with it. It has dramatic effects on people. Children used to not live very long who were born with it. Since the time of the 20s, when they first discovered that some forms of insulin might prolong life, the later 20s. And getting into the 30s and 40s, people started to realize they could live with diabetes. The only issue is that they live, but they don't live normally. And diabetes in and of itself, if you have this more infantile form, is related to a prior life, which I'm going to get into. But what about the fact that so many more people have diabetes, and especially the more adult form, which is called type 2? Well, type 2 is caused by a retention of high amounts of astral and commensurate amounts of physical energy. We call it fat or overweight problems. But it is not just a physical problem. It's also an emotional or astral problem. And what happens is the two bodies start to synchronize in their desire for excessive energy, food, and the, we'll say, ignoring of the fact that the food, the extra energy, is producing a disease or diseases that are strictly self-induced. Now, if you have this, huge amounts of the population has this issue, it has to do with the inability to be creative or self-expressive. And as a person loses their creation or creativity, they create more of their bodies. Okay. Let me try to explain this. We all are here to create more of our Creator, together with our Creator and others doing the same. That's the real level of creation we're seeking. When people create things that are not of that nature, they start becoming confused in their desires to what they actually want. They may collect things, and if they collect things, those things usually become issues of contention and sometimes of deprivation of the needs that they have and others that have, other people have around them that they don't address. So they may have a need for a lot of shoes, a lot more shoes than other people, and not have enough underwear or enough food. That's one form of switching our creativity away from what we're really here for. And then the next issue is if that isn't appropriate or if they don't have the resources to get things and have things or keep things, then the next process can be that they have or want to get certain kinds of feelings, which could be sexuality or certain issues involved in relationships with other people. That's another, we'll call it, desire, fixed desire, that can be very dangerous for people because when they're doing that, they're losing their empathy for the people that they want to have take these things from in terms of feelings. People become objects of feeling to them rather than people with needs and ways of interacting and co-serving together. But the worst of these epidemics revolves around the desire for excessive food, which in and of itself is, again, an astral issue of having a desire for a compensatory mechanism of not creating enough of meaning in life, and then moving it into a balanced state between astral desire, meaning, and food. And so the person starts eating in a physical sense the amount of food that equals their astral desire of meaning. And the less creative they are in a spiritual sense, and the more selfish they are in a spiritual sense, the more food they're going to eat. As they eat more food, they gain a lot of weight. As they gain a lot of weight, the energy structure of their body is damaged because they're using energy in their bodies to meet the astral desires in a different body, in their astral body. So the energy nature in their physical body is trying to match the astral nature, and so those aren't working in the benefit towards the benefit of the person, and their energy balance in their body goes off. When the energy balance goes off, the sugar process, which is the energy process of the body, some people call it the Krebs cycle, it gets all screwed up, and the person becomes prone towards diabetes, especially diabetes type 2. If they did this in a prior lifetime, they may be born with diabetes 1 in their next life. But let me go on to this question of how do you deal with this then? Okay, so you're eating more and more food. You're getting fatter and fatter. The energy structure in your body is going haywire because the thing called the Krebs cycle is going out of cycle, wrong, which damages the aorta of the pancreas and produces diabetes 2, which leads to an intolerance to insulin, because insulin allows the Krebs cycle to work properly in getting energy into muscles, sugar into muscles. And when you get intolerance to it, your body rejects it because it knows that you're using the energy for bad purposes, to put more weight on, which is stifling you. You're getting overloaded with energy because you're selfish. And it's coming from desires from your astral nature. What's the solution to diabetes 2? Lose weight. You got to lose weight. It isn't the weight per se. It's the change in direction of the spiritual underlying issue of misuse of energy that you have to correct so that your body then becomes reactive to insulin in a proper way, produces enough insulin from the aisles of the pancreas so that you don't need more additional insulin and they're not dying off, and your other hormones in your body start re-regulating themselves so that you have correct energy, not just to muscles that deals with diabetes, but to all the other organs and interrelated factors underlying the sugar cycle and the energy cycle of the body. So the physical body realigns itself once you stop eating so much energy. And even more importantly, if you really want to choose to correct the disease, you've got to get to the astral nature. What are the emotional desires that you have not been paying attention to? And how are you going to change those emotional desires so that you are living a life that is more meaningful? Now, some people can't live their life more meaningfully because they may depend upon others interdependently in some kind of co-service, and those others may be not reacting right. They can suffer the same consequences because they've led their life as one with others, so it's a real problem. But regardless, that the only solution to this is to solve the equation and to get the energy in balance. And the way to do that is to live a life that is more creative in ways that are virtuous, in line with God's thought, spiritual. If you do that, that solves the diabetic problem, and diabetes as an epidemic starts to go away. Wow. Now, diabetes is actually easier to solve than the other two diseases I just described. I started with one of the most difficult ones, autism. And cancer is very difficult. Diabetes is actually easier to solve if it's type 2. If you have type 1, you're a juvenile diabetic, then in that particular situation, you have to realize it came from a prior life in which you probably were diabetic in type 2. But you didn't solve it while you were in the astral world. You still kept the desires that you had. So if you have that kind of disease, if you start early enough, if you have children that are born juvenile diabetic, and you get them to change their astral natures to be highly empathic and loving, the diabetes will improve. It may even go away. I know that sounds impossible. You're going to say, well, without a transplant or something or whatever, how do we get new islands or pancreas? Because they will come back or they will grow again or they'll do something. The physical body is only a result of the etheric nature. The etheric nature, if it's tied to the astral, if you fix the astral, the etheric body will also start fixing itself. It could take 6 months, a year, but eventually you can cure the most incurable things. There are what we call miracles because they are esoteric. The solutions are hidden from us because we are ignorant. But we can find them. And we can do something to solve them. All right. So, let me continue on. The best thing to do whenever you're faced with a dilemma is to get informed and to sense first the truth of what you hear. If you can't sense it, you're not going to buy it, no matter how much you think that, oh, that guy on the radio has got to be right. You know? No, you're not going to believe it. It's got to come from inside yourself to know that this is true. So you're going to have to do some testing on yourself to really prove these things to be true. Diabetes is one of those things you can actually do because you can start enacting something that within a few months, you'll see the difference. Seriously. Now, when you're putting on a lot of energy into your body, putting a lot of fat, other things start going haywire. As I said, all the other hormones start getting screwed up, and your nutritional values in most things get wild and strange. So you're going to need to solve all of that at the same time, but by certainly eating less and eating more of the appropriate things. Usually, as long as you don't have a kidney disease or something, eating more protein is the best way. And cutting down on carbohydrates, especially simple carbohydrates. Some people say, well, what about fats? Fats satiate you, and they may help you to not eat so much. But yes, if you eat a huge amount of fat, you will gain weight too. But that's true if you eat a huge amount of anything. Even protein, if you eat too much of anything, you're going to gain weight because food is energy. Remember, this is an energy problem. People who want to hold on to a lot of energy are causing this disease to go crazy. Now, how many people have diabetes? A large number. It's huge. And some societies it's much worse than others. It's very bad here in the United States. Because food is rampant, and good food is hard to find. So you can get food everywhere, but you can't get good food almost anywhere. And people also tend to eat more bad food when they don't have enough good food. So I also strongly suggest you consider eating more organically grown foods. You try to find foods that are not altered in some genetic way. And also, and this is just a suggestion, eat less or no meat. But that's a whole other subject. Now, I'm not telling you should do it. You should all do that because some people might get sick if they don't eat meat because they don't know how to balance their diet without meat. And that could lead to even more severe problems for them. Okay. So let me continue on, and I'm looking at my time here. There's a few subjects we will not be able to cover tonight because of time, but we'll get to them another show. You know, this doesn't have to just be a one-night thing. All right, let me continue on. So what is the next critical epidemic that so many people seem to be having, we'll say, significant problems with, and that seems to be almost a rampant level of condition, we'll say. And that's vascular diseases and heart disease. Now, why are these such a problem when we have so many interactive ways of dealing with these? I mean, it was the number one killer for people, and it still kind of is. So the question then is, well, if we have all these, and we have surgery, we've got stents, they can put new valves in the hearts, and they can clean out the vessels and do all this other stuff. Why isn't this just enough to solve the problem? And the answer is because part of the problem has to do with the bodies outside of the physical. In this case, this involves both the mental and the astral bodies. And when people have unusual stresses in both their mental and astral nature, they can put into their system a pressure, we'll call it, that leads to literally high blood pressure. It can also lead to the damage of the heart and its mechanisms, the valves, etc. The electrical system surrounding the heart, which is oftentimes a problem. And then in addition to that, every vessel can be open to some sort of problem or danger. How do you solve this? Well, there are several methods, and the first is that when dealing with a mental stress, people need to examine that they are using their mental body for the benefit of others in some way to help those others to further become good servants. If they're using their mental body as a soul, that's what I'm saying here, that will correct that most of the stresses that they have in a mental way. When they don't use their mental body that way, usually if they're using too much lower mental activities, the results can be a stress that leads to an electrical problem, so your heart may go too fast, it's irregular, and can lead to a problem in terms of the pressure in your system caused by biochemical displacement in your physical body, as well as by other factors in the way the vascular system works. Finally, you can also have a situation where the astral body becomes agitated with the mental body. Mental body is stressed because it's too concerned about things that are mundane rather than spiritual. And then the astral body becomes stressed because it desires to feel some kind of relief from the mental pressure, as well as it desires oftentimes to be in control of others who may or may not be implementing very spiritual things in their life. So we tend to get angry then. We tend to resort to wrong actions that are going to support, or not support, I should say, going to destroy the way that our vascular and heart systems work together. And it leads to so many different kinds of problems that it's hard to lump it as just one thing, because it's all these things that actually have a common denominator. Okay, so what is the answer for this? I'm skipping over a lot of stuff because of our time again. What is the answer for this kind of nature of problem if there's really spiritual issues going on in this epidemic of vascular and heart issues? And the first thing to do is to use your mind spiritually as much as you can every day. Now, that doesn't mean you can't think in thought forms. Some people are forced to, during the day, use a lot of different thought form action that is not particularly in and of itself spiritual. But if the reason you're doing it is for a spiritual outcome, it will usually de-stress them to some extent mentally. That doesn't mean they won't have to sometimes limit the amount that they do. because you can, no matter how much your motive is right, if your actions are overboard, the stress still comes. Finally, in the astral side of the situation, do not seek to try to control. Seek to inform, educate, resolve, help, serve, give, but you can't control. If you want to control others because they're doing screwball things, the results are going to be it damages your heart and it damages the heart-related connections. It will raise your blood pressure and those like that as well. Now, you can say, well, if it's that simple, how come that guy from 30, 40 years ago couldn't get everybody to just relax? It's not just relaxing. Relaxing will not work if you don't give up the need to control. So as long as you hold on to the need to control or desire to control, and you relax till the cows come home, or maybe till they leave again, you won't get better. And you could say, well, what does it mean to give up control? It means to adopt a spiritual and soul life in an astral sense rather than a personally driven one. Personality always wants to control. Stop seeking to control others and instead help them, teach them, serve them in various ways. It doesn't mean give them what they want. It means to give them what they need to be a soul. And if you can do that, you will relieve a lot of the stress on your heart, and you'll be a lot better off from that. So hopefully that has made some sense. And I'm trying to give you all the practical sides of these spiritual issues so that it can be, you know, you can say, wow, this guy's giving us some real answers here. I like the answers. That's what I'm trying to do in tonight's show, as short as it might end up being. Okay. So where's our next major, we'll call it, issue that is virtually of an epidemic proportions? Arthritis. Big deal. Why is arthritis so problematic? People usually don't die from it. True, but people's ability to function and live is significantly reduced by it. And when that is happening, then you need to do something about it. Now, arthritis is very high. About 1 out of 3 people past the age of 60 have some form of arthritis. That's why I'm going in kind of the order in which you find the prevalence of these diseases. The last one, by the way, is going to be dementia. So I'm saving that for the end. If you can hold out, if you're waiting for that one, I'll get to it, okay? I'm working on it, you know, but I'm also eliminating diseases I was going to talk about and epidemics that are happening because we don't have time. All right. So what's the issue with arthritis? Well, first of all, there's two kinds. There's the general inflammatory arthritis that affects specific joints, and that type of arthritis is usually brought about by people using their physical nature to not be of service to others. It may strangely result in a literal sense of self-focus during the activities in which a person should be in service to others. Instead, they're just thinking about themselves, maybe the money they're making, or whatever their thought process is. This leads to arthritis. Now, how do you deal with arthritis? Well, the very first thing is to recognize what it is. It's an inflammation, which means that you're creating a sense of force around certain joints, or certain areas of movement. It may not be a joint per se, within your body. And when you do that, it's happening while you sleep. It's happening when you don't sleep, particularly. So lack of sleep is a big issue. And it's happening when you are doing activities without a focused out attitude in the activity itself. So it is the directly related to activities. This is called osteoarthritis, directly connected to the activities that you're pursuing. If you pursue activities that are spiritual, no matter how active you are, the arthritis will get better. If you don't pursue spiritual activities, then your best bet is to reduce any form of activity that is selfish and at least live your life in a mundane sense as free from arthritis as possible, because that will help. You still have to keep moving, but you have to move in ways that don't create, in a selfish way, a difficulty for others in their movements. Okay? Arthritis is an expression of how we're using our activity interactive with other people's activities. It's a direct expression of that. It's showing how we're not being very cooperative with others. The more incooperative or uncooperative, excuse me, you are with others, the more you're going to develop arthritis. The older you are, the more you develop uncooperative nature, and the more you develop an uncooperative nature, the worse your arthritis is going to become. Ow. And no activity may make arthritis worse, because then you're not doing any movement, and so there's even more energy building up in the same joints. So you have to use some energy, and you want to use it as much as possible to be of service to others, and then the arthritis will reduce and eventually go away. Also, your sleep will improve, and your body will repair itself better. People, when they have arthritis, when they go to sleep, they also, because of their own selfishness, their body will not repair itself as well. So each day they sleep less effectively, and they wake up with more arthritis. And anybody who has osteoarthritis will tell you, when they get a really good night's sleep, their arthritis is way better. But it happens rarely, because a really good night's sleep comes from having been in cooperation and sharing with other people throughout the prior day to a higher level than usual. Okay, you need to try these things I'm suggesting to prove that what I'm saying is true. Listening to me and just saying, well, I'll do whatever you say, whatever, that isn't good enough. This has to be something that you really discover for yourself, and then you do it because you know it. You know it's true. And then it'll work. Okay. There's another form of arthritis, you know, and this type of arthritis is much more complicated because it comes from the immune system attacking various parts of the body, usually, again, joints, but sometimes it's areas of movement in the body, from the spine or whatever. And when it does, you know, when you have this type of arthritis, it's coming from the fact that your own body is now attacking yourself. Now, why would your body attack yourself, you know? Well, lupus is a real advanced form of our bodies attacking ourselves. Women are more prone to that, especially in their 30s and 40s. But I think the thing to realize is that autoimmune disorders are an expression of our bodies reacting to too much retained energy and selfishness in our daily activities. So, focusing out, serving others in a general sense. Now, this is not just in the interactive physical I'm talking about. Now you have to be much greater in service if you have rheumatoid arthritis. The name of rheumatoid. You have that kind of arthritis, it means that you're being selfish, not just physically, but astrally and mentally as well, all three ways. So you're not cooperating and sharing, you aren't loving others in ways to help them to love others still, and you are not being truthful in your mental body, and you are not helping other people to develop giving wisdom while you do it as well. You're not doing those things. And that leads to rheumatoid arthritis, a more severe type of arthritis that has greater levels of danger in terms of, we'll say, severe incapacitation. It can also lead to some other abnormal forms of immunity difficulties that in themselves can become fatal. Also, the treatment for rheumatoid arthritis in a medical sense can be fatal because it attempts to limit the amount of the immune system's response, thinking that if they just cut down the immune system, everything will be hunky-dory. Well, when you cut down the immune system, suddenly you develop cancers, and pneumonia, tuberculosis, I don't know. And people don't do so well that way. And it may not solve that much of the rheumatoid arthritis either, because that may still stay high if the person doesn't deal with the cause, which is their own selfishness, on three different levels at the same time. All right? Rheumatoid arthritis can also affect people 10 or 20 years earlier than the time when osteomania affects them. So it affects them at a younger age because it has a lot more energy involved in it. The solution. Truth. Remind. And then wisdom behind your service to others. Love in your astral nature. Helping others to become more loving. Not just giving to people. That's not going to work. As a matter of fact, you may give to people and harm them. That's not a good thing. You want to help others to become more giving themselves. That's real love. Unconditional. And cooperation and sharing, so that you don't have the specifics of the joint issues. And at the same time, your interactions with people become meaningful interactions that help them find more meaning themselves, because they become spiritual servers where you are. You're all being spiritual. In the sense of how I use the word spiritual, which is much more general than some people who are of a religious nature might say. Okay, so that's really, those are the things that I strongly suggest that we look at in terms of the arthritises and how they affect us. They are biggies. We all know about them if we don't already have some of them. And if we're going to succeed, we need to look at this being something that we are in control of. So many people feel that they are out of control. They want a medical system that treats them like they are not responsible. And so they're getting one. Yeah. A system that will make them less responsible will kill them faster and earlier, and they'll suffer more. That's the system they're headed for. Remember, everything I'm saying requires greater levels of self-responsibility, not less. Everything I'm saying requires we to be the people that heal ourselves. Not going to some guy or gal who says, I got a degree on the wall, and the government's paying me this much money, you got me for the next 4 minutes, we'll see what we can do, I'll write you out a script, and I'll send you into this therapy or that therapy, and that's it, we're done. Well, those people are going to kill you quicker than if you don't go to them, and you're going to suffer a lot more. Look for healers. Hard to find. Now, if I'd say I'm condemning doctors, not really. I mean, some things doctors do are really good. They're great at emergency room care. If you have an immediate plumbing problem or something else, you need a doctor to do something very quickly. But the longer the term of the treatment, the less successful the methods presently used in Western medicine. Period. For long-term problems, it's virtually useless, and usually it aggravates and makes the problem progress. Okay. I'm sure I made a lot of friends with some physicians out there. Okay, so let's talk about Alzheimer's. The last epidemic for today, because we have a lot more, but there's not enough time. Okay, Alzheimer's is very, very serious. Why? Because it's stealing people's lives when they could be developing wisdom. And the main reason it's going crazy the way it is because people are not developing wisdom. Oh, my. wisdom is supposed to develop in a period of lives when most people are dead already to die. We should be living much longer lives. But because we aren't wise, because we aren't truthful in the use of our mental bodies, we are causing great damage. The damage we cause to our mental bodies is being converted after tens of years of use that way, decades of use, into physiological turmoil. What is Alzheimer's and other dementias, including vascular degeneration? What is that really? What it is a form of poisoning of both the mental body with the physical brain. Now, is it serious? Yes. Is there a medical treatment that presently works to reverse it? No. Is there a medical treatment that will slow it down slightly? But the results are pretty much the same. Is there something else that can be done? Yes, but I cannot speak about it on this show. So here is the answer. The answer is, first of all, if you want to not develop dementia, you must not be egotistical. You must use your mind to develop wisdom. Wisdom is always created through open-mindedness, humility, and a desire to find truth and to use it in your own life and help others to do the same. When you do that, you relieve the pressure that causes Alzheimer's. When you don't do that, especially if you like have a spiritual teacher and you ignore your spiritual teacher, you better expect you're going to get Alzheimer's or some other form of dementia. Because if you can't live a life of wisdom and truth, and you try in some hypocritical way to say you're going to be a spiritual person, the results can be devastating. If you're not doing that, but you're just the average person, over time, you're still going to have the same problems. And if you've been peculiar in the way that you have abused the abilities you've had in terms of mental abilities in prior lifetimes, you may be developed early onset Alzheimer's or other kinds of dementias. Those are all the contributing factors. Now, are there physiological things? Too much aluminum. How about all that cholesterol? How about everything else that we consume and eat? They all play a part. Again, being overweight creates too much irritation, and the irritation contributes to the speed at which these dementias move. So if you're overweight, you would still develop dementia, but maybe 15 years from now instead of today. That's a huge difference. So being at your ideal weight, particularly if you're having any kind of dementia problems, is critical. Very important. Exercise helps. Exercise is particularly good because it allows some of the energies that may be too excessive in the body to be reduced, and that reduces the inflammation that causes the earlier onset of dementias. But nonetheless, the bottom line is truth, and creating and living a life where you use wisdom to help others to develop some of themselves, where you have great humility. Humility will solve most of the problems for dementias. But it has to be employed in the 30s, 40s, and early 50s, or it'll be too late. And for a lot of people, they don't even approach humility, if at all, until maybe 60, and by then they may already have dementia. So be aware of what I'm saying to you. It is one very big issue. Alzheimer's is the fastest growing disease in the world, percentage-wise. And if you don't think it's scary to no longer be able to remember, think, do any kind of serious mental work, then you haven't had it happen to you yet. It's a scary thing. Meaning in life is virtually dissolved away. Now, can it be arrested? Yes. Can it be reversed to some degree? Yes. But again, with nothing that is presently known in medicine. And the esoteric ways of dealing with this is, as I said, the development of wisdom comes from first developing humility. Humility is the assumption that you're wrong whenever faced with external sense information and other people's explanations or knowledge that are different from your own. You assume you're wrong, because then you want to learn what the other people have to say, what other people have in their understandings, so that you can then see whether it's truth or not. You can use it to see if it works. You can do mental tests. You can do actual physical and astral tests with it. Do all kinds of tests to determine the validity of what you're experiencing. That gives you the opportunity to become wise. But only by giving the wisdom to others so they have wisdom does it do the trick in terms of reversing the problems that we all have of living a life at some point of not being humble. That's how you reverse it. That's how you reverse the disease. And it does work, but it's tough to do. One of the problems is that people with Alzheimer's tend to be very egotistical, even arrogant. It's hard to understand that unless you understand the nature of what causes the disease. And then you say, oh, well, that makes sense. Of course. If you put the facts together, you start seeing that what I'm saying is being supported by the actual evidence. Why is one of the first three or four symptoms of Alzheimer's a level of arrogance and emotional support or desire of the person's own position of always being right? Why is that the case? Well, because that is what one of the causes is. It's not that far from ludicrous. It makes sense when you understand the esoteric reality of these diseases. Now, what about the other kinds of dementia? There's many other kinds. Well, all the dementias have a connection. The connection is a dislodging of the function of the brain in some fashion. Alzheimer's is caused by the twisting of nerve fibers into virtually dying off, somewhat caused by amyloid beta. Some people prefer it, beta amyloid, but the real name is amyloid beta. Sticky, gluey stuff interfering with the nerve. Every time the nerve fires, the energy can't transfer from one cell to another because it's going through this goo, and the energy starts to cause the nerve to twist or turn. It's a reaction to the energy. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, and an equal and opposite reaction from the cell firing. But the energy getting stuck at the end of the cell, its synapse, because of all this goop, is that it starts to twist. And the more it twists, the more it chokes it off and eventually kills that nerve cell in the brain. What happens if you get rid of the amyloid beta? Well, people do seem to get better, but it doesn't solve the problem of Alzheimer's or some other kinds of dementia. Now, that means that we don't fully understand the operation of the brain. It doesn't change anything I've said tonight about the esoteric factors. At any rate, it is important, again, to recognize that whatever I suggested in tonight's show needs to be experimented with, and to be done so just like any other good scientist might do, even though it's your own body or that of a friend or family member. You are doing this with the intent to find the truth for yourself. Not with the intent of following what I'm saying. I'm educating Your job is to come to the truth. That's within yourself and for and with others. When you do, I think you'll find that a lot of the things I said tonight ring true to you. And if they don't, let me know. I really would like to know. And everything I'm saying can't be true for everybody, because I'm talking in a very general sense. And there are so many specific examples, exceptions, we'll say, to what I'm saying, that it's important to realize that I couldn't possibly be right for all people in all circumstances. It wouldn't be, that couldn't make any sense. I'm just giving you some general ideas and thoughts from someone who thinks that it might be of service to you. Okay, well, we're out of time for right now, and I'm not going to go into any further into this subject because we go way past the time for this show. And we will have another show on this subject because I didn't cover this subject as fully as I would like. But until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.